Saraswati, be it the river or be it the goddess Saraswati, both evoke emotions among people of this country. Where we worship goddess Saraswati, we also have a great attestation towards the river Saraswati as well. The Rig Veda and various of the ancient literature mention this mighty river which had once upon a time disappeared. A lot of scientific work has happened over two centuries. A lot of scientists, a lot of explorers, a lot of archaeologists, geologists, and people of various disciplines have been trying to trace the river Saraswati. They have been trying to find out the actual paleo channel of ancient river Saraswati. And a lot of work has been done. And today we know that the river which is mentioned at Saraswati did exist. It is represented today as River Ghaggar, which flows from Haryana all the way to Rajasthan, Hanumangarh district, and towards Anupgarh in Sri Ganganagar district of Rajasthan, and crosses the border where it becomes Hakra. Now, to talk about Ghaggar or of the Saraswati River system, I can go on and on and on and talk about a scientific discovery and scientific work that has happened in this region. But that is for another day. Today, I will be talking about the archaeological findings from the river, on the bank of Ghaggar River, and also how likely they had disappearing, just the way River Saraswati and River Ghaggar once disappeared. Hello, my name is Dushar Duvalia. I'm an archaeologist and a writer of the columns for the paper. And in this week's column, I'll be discussing about how the archaeological sites on the banks of Dry River Ghaggar were discovered. The exploration started somewhere in 1800s. And these early explorations started to note protohistoric ancient mounds on the bank of Dry River Ghaggar. And as we move forward in time with technology and with other advances, some of these sites were also excavated. But with time and with modernization, with the rise in population and with various other factors, today we see a sharp decline in these sites. And what I mean is that the sites are disappearing as we speak. And I have spoken about disappearance of sites and how sites are actually endangered by human development in and human existence around the sites. In various columns, I have mentioned about a case study of Shishupal Garh, which is an important ancient site in Orissa, and how the development and how the population which is settled, the habitation around this fort is actually hampering the site. It's actually affecting its well-being and damaging it as we speak. And despite being protected under the AMSR law, are a centrally protected site, they are not being taken care of. I've spoken about the need for sandwich archaeology in the country in various columns. I've spoken about Nagarchandikonda, where a site, an archaeological site, and actually an extensive archaeological site, which is now submerged under Nagarjuna Sagar, Nagarjuna Sagar, because a dam was built on the river in the years following the independence of India. So in this case, the government and the archaeologists, they came on board and decided that since we are going to lose a major archaeological site, let's just sandwich the remains and replicate it in one of the islands in the Nagarjuna Sagar, and so that the people would know what was to be found. And it is one of the most important Buddhist sites, and not only Buddhist, there are evidence of Hindu temples as well, and various other secular structures which are quite important and quite magnificent if you look at the kind of settlement that was there. So we do have cases of salvaging archaeology. On the other hand, there was another site that I have spoken about, which is Devni Mori, which is now submerged under water, and it was at Devni Mori that one of the relic caskets were found. So it is also an important Buddhist site, but unfortunately, no salvaging work has been done. So I have spoken about the need of salvage archaeology in the past, and for those of you who don't know what salvage archaeology means, it is basically an attempt made by archaeologists to retrieve information and data from an archaeological site, salvage the data from an archaeological site when a site is endangered. So, you know, a lot of people have also asked me following these columns that that don't you think most archaeology is salvaging? It is true. Most archaeology is salvaging. Yeah, I try to do a bit, but not in the technical sense, because there are sites like Dhulavira, there are sites like Kalibanga, in fact, in Raki Gadi, which are fairly in a better state than many other sites. You know, there's a lot of media attention, there's a lot of public attention on these sites. So these sites remain in a good state as compared to those sites where there is absolutely no attention despite being protected, and then just forget about those sites which are absolutely not protected. So in today's story, I'll be talking about these sites. So as I mentioned earlier, that the adventures and explorations of the Bangor River Khagar began very early on. It was James Todd in 1829 who explored the region of Bikaner State, which covers the area of dried bed of Khagar River, the present-day Sriganganagar district and Hanumangar district. And he recorded his findings of ancient temples, medieval temples, ancient sites in the two volumes of Annals and Antiquities of Rajasthan. Following that, Todd's work basically was to record folklore as well, to record the practices, also to record the antiquities. This work was taken one step forward by M.P. Tessitore. He was an Italian explorer who explored the region. In fact, he also collected antiquities from various archaeological mounds. And one of those important mounds was actually Kalibangan in that very region, which is one of the most important Harappan sites, which is situated on the dried bed of River Khagar. He also took an extensive exploration of sites which covers the entire region, moves all the way to Sindh as we cross the Indo-Pakistan border. Following Tessitore came about one of the most important archaeological explorations, which were commissioned by Sir John Marshall. And this exploration was undertaken by a German explorer, Orenstein. Now, Orenstein's work in 1940s still stands one of the most important work in the region as an archival work, not the work that one uses today to work in that region, of course. But as an archival record, it's one of the most important work, and the antiquities and the data that is collected, the material remains that is collected for a long period of time were in Sadar Jung Museum under ASI, and they recently a lot of archaeologists have come about and recorded these archives and tried to digitize his archive, and they're quite important piece of evidence because he did mention and laid a lot of emphasis on the archaeological sites and proto-historic mounds alone, unlike what his predecessors Todd and Tessitore did. So Todd's work basically was to also record a lot of traditions, a lot of intangible evidence of that region of Rajasthan, and Tessitore took that one step ahead. He tried to work and tried to collect antiquities and the material culture, tried to make sense of archaeology. And the real archaeology of that region came about when Orenstein undertook the exploration. And remember, this was the time which followed the excavation of Mohenjo-daro and Harappa. So Harappan civilization was already now known, not only in the subcontinent but also globally. It was now being compared to the ancient contemporary civilization, and it became one of the oldest civilizations of the world, ancient civilizations of the world. So in that sense, Orenstein's work is quite important. But one of the most important work in that region comes after the independence of India. So once India and Pakistan, the partition of the two countries, India became an independent country. The ASI, which started under the British Raj, now became an independent India's Archaeological Survey of India, and it was headed by Amarendra Ghosh. A. Ghosh, he was the first director general of ASI. So under him, one important exploration was undertaken. Now remember, this is the time following 1947, where a lot of other important archaeological investigations were also being undertaken in different parts of the country. Remember that Hastinapur was also being excavated around the same time, which was making news. In that sense, there was also an important task at hand. Although Dr. Lal was doing his exploration of Mahabharata and epic, there were people who were exploring various sites in southern India, recording megaliths and recording Iron Age sites in southern India. In the entire, looking at the Bronze Age civilization, India, because of partition, lost a lot, because it lost one of the most important, and not even one of the most important, largely explored sites, which were on the bank of Indus to Pakistan. So India really had, a few number of sites back then, the time, India became an independent country. So Amitabh Ghosh's exploration was basically to find the roots of that civilization, which has now gone to Pakistan, in the eastern half of the ancient civilization. I remember it is the division of the civilization is a modern event. It is historical in the sense that it's quite modern, not as old as thousands of years. So the civilization, the ancient landscape of the Bronze Age civilization was now divided into two, in the western and the eastern realm. So the western part was quite well known. There were various sites like Kodiji and Harappa, Mohenjo-daro, various sites which were already explored. And by then, it was quite evident that there is an early phase to the civilization, which we call as the early Harappan. Comes the mature Harappan phase, which is a classical Harappan, and then there is a deurbanized phase. So these conversations were already going on in the archaeological circles. So Ek Ghosh's objective was to find whether there is an early phase in the eastern side as well, and how many sites are there actually. So for the first time, a dedicated investigation was undertaken in 1950s, where he explored the Vika, which was then known as the Bikaner State, the region of Sriganganagar district, and he reported over 100 sites. Most of them, majority of them, were Harappan sites. Over 20 sites were the Graveware, which of course later on, around the same time, a few years here and there, came to be known as the Pedro Graveware after the excavation of Hastinapur. And then he also marked the presence of early historic period and then the medieval period. So a lot of importance was given to the Bronze Age, the Harappan sites, in that this region by Ek Ghosh and his entire team. He excavated various sites. He also explored Sothi, which is an early Harappan site. And then he took exploratory trenches at various sites, including site called Tarkanwala Dera, Chuck 86, Red, and a few more. His purpose was to actually understand the archaeology of the region in a better way, because by now the chronology and chronoculture of the subcontinent was fairly well understood. Archaeologists have begun to understand the chronoculture of the Indian subcontinent. So in 1950 to 52, Ek Ghosh explored, multiple seasons. And then this particular exploration was followed by the excavation of Kalibangan by Lal and Vigit Harper. So you can see that this region was sort of revived. The archaeology in this region was initiated in true sense, power of time, followed by Ghosh, who had left an important database for us. Unfortunately, Ghosh could not publish the entire data. A lot of his excavation material and exploration material is still with ASI and the Central Reserve, but he has not published much on this. He did publish few of the papers here and there, but in those papers he does give a very important piece of evidence which was carried forward by another archaeologist who did exploration in that region, Dr. K.T. Dalal. She wanted to take Ghosh's work forward. She wanted to stress on early Harappan period, the period which Ghosh defined as Sothi, and she wanted to investigate that very region. So she, as part of her PhD work in 1960s and 70s, undertook an exploration, an extensive exploration in that region, and also ended up excavating few sites, took a trial excavation at site. And interestingly, one of these excavations was Binjor, and the site, there were the 3 months at Binjor, so she excavated one of the sites at Binjor, and then in 2014, Dr. H.K. Manjul excavated a very important site, which is Binjor 4MSR. Today it's known as 4MSR. And, so the kind of progression that has happened in archaeological investigation, right from 1800s all the way to 1960s, 70s, was quite, it was effective, and it was very, very important for people like me, archaeologists like me, to follow. And so we can work and follow their work, their footstep. So the point I'm trying to take you back to the early exploration in this region, which is represented which is a representative of River Saraswati today, is to tell you that these early explorers recorded and mapped out over hundreds of archaeological sites. Ghosh himself gave an extensive list of sites he explored, which is followed by Dr. Dalal's extensive PhD and also the map and the list of sites that were explored by her and also excavated by her. Today, if you go to this region, now I've been working in this region since 2014. I've been fortunate enough to get to walk the footsteps of the early archaeologists and to sort of trace the same line of investigation and follow the same line of investigation, but with a different research question in mind as they did. So when I started working in 2014, one could see that these sites are slowly disappearing. You can see that there was few sites which were mentioned by both, by Stein, then Ghosh, and then by Dr. Dalal, are sort of not there. But there were also few sites which still existed, and there were potential. There were potential of excavation. So, of course, in 2003, two of these sites were excavated by Bhubaneswar Circle Excavation Branch of Archaeological Survey of India, headed by P.K. Trivedi and other of its archaeologists in its team in 2003 and 2004. And this report of Tarkanwala Dera in Chuck 86 is available online. Thank God we have that excavation report. So not much work since then has happened. There was an excavation of a few of Binjor for MSR in 2014, 2017, and then few exploratory trenches were taken by Dr. Sanjay Manjul, which I was fortunate enough to assist him in one of these excavations, exploratory trenches, in order to salvage the remains. And thank God that we did, because when I revisited this area again this year, especially the area of Anupgarh Tehsil, which is very close to the Indo-Pakistan border, I found these sites, many of the sites are completely gone. I couldn't even recognize the landscape. There were some remains sites in 2014 when I once visited. Today, I could just find nothing, absolutely nothing. Over there, and most of these sites are unprotected. What is also alarming is that there are few sites which are protected, but then they are not well taken care of. There's still encroachments, low encroachments happening at these sites, and it's quite alarming. So when we talk about monuments being disappearing, we do have a lot of people who are raising voice, but we don't have people who are raising voice for the archaeological sites. Even the archaeologists are quiet. For somebody who's worked in this region, I am scared that maybe if we don't do anything today, if we don't protect more sites, and if we don't take care of the sites which are protected, we may not have any archaeological sites at all. They are, if I want, I can just go on giving you the names of the sites, but they are about 60% of those sites mentioned by Ghosh and by Dr. Dalal, they are not there at all. There was one interesting example, you know, I remember visiting a site. It was in a private land. It was in a wheat cultivation field. And I remember going there in 2014. And when I visited there, I could only remember the gate, the iron gate. And I could just not see anything on the surface. Only in the nalas that are sort of cut between the fields is where I could grab a few pot shots. So I feel that there is, it's high time that we go and opt for salvage archaeology. It's good that we are excavating sites like Wadnagar, sites like Rakhigarhi. We are paying a lot of attention to various big sites. But it's time that even the state and the center and other stakeholders, the municipal corporations and other, they start protecting these archaeological mounds. It's not going to take much. It's just going to take them to fence these sites and record them in their archives, in the document, and build a database of these protected sites, because soon we will not have this evidence. We are not going to then have enough to add to our history, and it's going to be sad for everybody. It's going to be a loss for everyone, not just the archaeologists, for all of you watching this particular video and essay. So the need for salvage archaeology is real. I hope we can make more noise. We can educate people about it, and with this we can do more. I will be talking more in the stories coming, stories to follow. So to read more about this particular topic and to get more information, do read my my essay on this, and also on various other sites like Nagarjuna Konda, Shishupalgarh, Devri Mori. I have written about few sites which are endangered or lost or submerged in the past. So do read about them, educate people around you and spread awareness. And for more such content, do follow print and follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and support us. Thank you so much, and see you soon.